I don't have cancer, and both of my parents are still alive. I just thought I'd get that out of the way so you're not disappointed. While we're at it, I might as well tell you that I'm not a vampire. I don't have magical powers. And the closest I've ever come to fighting a war against an evil dystopian government was in a video game. Now that you're no longer expecting a story about orphaned vampires fighting an oligarchy of terminally ill wizards, although come to think of it, that does sound pretty cool, I'll tell you why I'm writing this. It's not to document my feelings or look for self-destructive patterns, like my therapist Rich suggested. I guess you could say I'm a history buff. But don't worry, this isn't a story about the Civil War or Little Houses on the Prairie. History has enough stories already. Things way more interesting than anything I could make up. The epic battles, rumors about people playing games with severed human heads, all of the unsolved mysteries involving rocks and ritual sacrifices. I know people say history repeats itself. I just hope I'm not around when it does. The truth is, I'm writing this mostly to help me understand everything that happened over the past year between my ex-girlfriend Jane and me. When you read as much history as I do, you start to wish real life also had textbooks, the kind with illustrated chronologies and did-you-know sections that make everything so simple and easy to understand. Any good historian knows that the past is a lot more complex than cause-and-effect charts and corny acronyms make it out to be. But Jane, a person more complicated than any revolution, more confusing than any war, and more life-changing than any invention, and I'm including the light bulb and chocolate chip cookies when I say that, deserves her own volume. And so in a way, I guess you could say I'm writing one for her. Since she's been gone, I've been scouring documents, text messages, her bizarre drawings inspired by the boredom of biology, anything to help me shine a light on the history of Jane. The only obstacle has been my mom, who has started checking on me every hour to either annoy me or make sure I'm still alive. As if on cue, I hear her walk down the hallway, the wooden floorboards creaking as she makes her way to my room. She knocks lightly, and when I don't answer, her knocks become more aggressive. "Dinner's ready," she says through the door. She jiggles the doorknob. "It's locked," I say, just because I know it will irritate her. She hovers outside the room, a presence more terrifying than anything found in a horror movie. A mother who has dinner ready. "Are you coming down?" she asks. "Yep," I say. "Right after I finish summoning Lucifer." "What? Can you bring me my dinner like I'm a prisoner?" I hear her footsteps recede down the hallway. She sighs as she goes. I know I'm being a jerk, but I can't just smile and pretend everything's okay, even though I know that's what everyone wants. Before I forget, I should tell you that everything I'm about to write is true. It's not one of those made-up stories that has morals and plot devices and well-crafted metaphors. History doesn't have room for all that. Facts are facts, whether you like them or not. I'm only changing one name. Hers. It just didn't feel right to use her real name. So I'm calling her Jane, as in Jane Doe.